Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In-app only.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. What if comparing car insurance rates was as easy as putting on your favorite podcast? With Progressive, it is. Just visit the Progressive website to quote with all the coverages you want. You'll see Progressive's direct rate, then their tool will provide options from other companies so you can compare. All you need to do is choose the rate and coverage you like. Quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Comparison rates not available in all states or situations. Prices vary based on how you buy.
Good morning and welcome back. It's another edition of Phillies Today. Kyle Forsini back with you guys for another half an hour here on Tuesday, November 11th. Happy Veterans Day. Eagles win a game last night. Big win over the Packers in Green Bay. They win again as they seemingly always do, although sloppy, but we've got a lot to look forward to in the football world. But we're talking baseball here for the next half hour or so. Phil's in the offseason. And right off the bat here, I've got to do a little mea culpa from last week. If you listened to my episode last week, I was talking about the awards coming up. That's now this week. You know, the MVP, Rookie of the Year, Cy Young, all that stuff. And the Phillies had two people in those categories. They had Chris Sanchez, who was up for Cy Young Award, and they also had Kyle Schwarber, who is one of the finalists for MVP. I completely omitted the fact, and again, mea culpa on my part, my bad. I completely forgot that Rob Thompson is a finalist for Manager of the Year. Did not talk about that last week. Completely skipped over it. If you were out there listening and you were cursing me and saying, "What the hell is it?" I agree with you. I don't know how I looked over this. But he is a finalist for NL Manager of the Year. Rob Thompson, Pat Murphy, and Terry Francona are the finalists for the National League Manager of the Year award. Now, I think the award will go to Pat Murphy. And by the way, this award's being announced tonight. So we will find out tonight who the winner of that is. If Rob Thompson wins the award, I think that we will all collectively groan almost in the way that the postseason ended this past season. By the way, how ridiculous would it have been if the Phillies would have fired Rob Thompson after that postseason, loss to the Dodgers? If they were to fire him and a month later he's up for the Manager of the Year award, I believe that has only ever happened one time. And it was Joe Girardi with like the 05 Marlins or something. He was fired after winning Manager of the Year. So I don't think it's a common thing to happen. And Philadelphia would have had a big stain on it in the baseball world had they fired a manager who was up for the Manager of the Year award. So good thing they didn't do that. Rob Thompson will be back for 2026. We'll see if they extend him for 2027 as well, so he's not a lame duck manager. But he is up for the Manager of the Year award that's being announced tonight. So I think it'll go to Pat Murphy. Pat Murphy led the Brewers to the best record in the sport. the Brewers don't have nearly the same talent that the Phillies have, and they were able to have the best record in the National League. So I think that voters will take that into account, you know, as much as, as good of a job as I think Rob Thompson has done and will and always does. You know, I have a lot of faith in him. And now I've talked about this ad nauseum, it feels like, that I do not want them to fire Rob Thompson. I think he is a very good manager. I think they can win with him at the helm. So I always have Rob Thompson's back. And even after the Dodgers series, I was critical of him. But again, I basically said if they're going to fire him, I want them to fire him for the sake of change more than I want them to fire him because I don't like Rob Thompson and I don't think he can do the job. And to their credit, they didn't fire him because that was a reactionary decision by me. I think it was a reactionary decision by a lot of people to basically just want some sort of change within this organization. Now, it's understandable because of the fact that they haven't had much change over the last 4 years. And every year we watch them, we say, this is the same old story, same old song and dance. We know who this team is. We get it. You know, we need something to change here because the results aren't changing. So something has to change in the roster building or in the people that are in place to run this roster. And it never happens. So I'm very high on Rob Thompson, and I like him a lot as a manager, though I think Pat Murphy will end up winning the award. We'll talk about that a little bit later on in the episode. I want to get to something that Jim Salisbury was talking about on WIP last week, and it's what we're going to spend the majority of the time with on this episode. So if you didn't hear it, you can go find it on the Odyssey app. I'm sure you could find it on social media. Jim Salisbury had a very, very good segment with the morning show on 94 WIP. They covered all Philly's offseason topics. They talked about Bryce Harper. They talked about Orion Kerkering and just the outlook of what the Phillies offseason might be after the disappointment that happened, obviously, against the Dodgers. And I'll kind of just echo a lot of what Salisbury said here. So as it pertains to Bryce Harper, and he feels like the natural starting point being that Bryce is he's the guy. I mean, right now he is the guy because Kyle Schwarber is not signed after anymore. Right. So he's a free agent. So right now, as the roster is currently on November 11th, 2025, Bryce Harper is that guy. So what he said about Bryce, talking about the Dave Dombrowski comments, and I had seen Salisbury say this on his podcast, The Philly Show, and I believe seen him tweet it as well, is just that he thought it was more of a critique of Bryce Harper than it was criticism coming directly from Dave Dombrowski. More so not trying to rip Bryce. And look, Dombrowski's track record, Dombrowski's time in the big leagues, he's done it for decades on decades. Like, he's not out to get under anybody's skin. He's not out there to try and run a guy out of town. You know, that's not him, and nor should it be. He's just, I think, and what Salisbury said was he gave an honest critique. He was asked a question. Maybe he wasn't ready for the question, and he ended up diverging into a critique of Bryce Harper. And that was that. You know, should he have said it? Maybe not. You know, I don't know that it was something that Bryce needed to hear. I think Bryce maybe understood that prior to him even having to open his mouth. But I was shocked he said it. But it wasn't like what he said was wrong. So then for Bryce to come back out and say, you know, the trade stuff and yada yada, that he doesn't like that and it wasn't appreciative of what was said, that kind of creates a whole life of its own. But Jim Salisbury was talking about how Dombrowski meant no ill will by it. You know, Bryce Harper's not going anywhere. They're not getting rid of Bryce Harper. He's going to be here for the remainder of his contract. He's not getting traded to some other team. He's not going to request a trade. He's got a no trade clause in his contract because he wanted that. And he's going to be here for the rest of his Phillies career. And if this pertains to the contract, and I talked about this on WIP with Francisco Rojas a week or so ago, you know, my biggest annoyance or my biggest thing that bothers me with athletes, and Bryce Harper's done this, is wanting a contract after you already have a contract. Bryce Harper at the time of his signed like the biggest deal in the history of baseball. And then a week later, Mike Trout outdid him, right? That's just the nature of how these things work. The contract you sign in 2019 when you're in a sport that doesn't have a salary cap is not going to be the same as the contracts that are signed in 2025. There are going to be good players who are coming after you that are going to make a heck of a lot of money and get a heck of a lot of years. So just because 13,330 is not the all-time record for baseball anymore does not mean that you need to now reset the market. If you wanted to do that, if you wanted a new contract midway through yours, you should have had an opt-out deal like Manny Machado did. And it's what Manny did with the Padres. You know, after, 5 years or something, he opted out of his deal. They gave him a massive contract to keep him, right? If you wanted to have that sort of route, if you wanted to go down that path, then you should have had that worked into your contract when you came here. Bryce Harper did not. Bryce Harper had a no-trade clause, did not want to go anywhere. He did not have any opt-outs. He wanted to sign the deal, have his family in place for 13 years, and know that he was going to make a heck of a lot of money, and he was not going anywhere. To then go and say that he wanted a new contract a couple of years ago, yada, yada, always rubbed me the wrong way. And I don't know if that was the main, you know, crux of this whole thing of Dombrowski coming out and saying what he said because Harper wanted a contract, and that was his way of basically saying, no, you know, you didn't have an MVP caliber season. You had a good season. You're a very good player. We're not saying that you're not. We understand that you're a very good player, but we're not giving you some big time deal after the season that you just had. So give it a rest. It's over with. And if that was the main reasoning for Bryce kind of having a little bit of ill will towards the Phillies, I do not like that. I do not like that. Again, you signed the deal. You are here for the remainder of your contract. Grow up and deal with it. I know that we pander very hard towards Bryce Harper in a lot of these situations, but that's one where I'm not willing to budge. So that's where I stand on that. Salisbury talked about that with the guys on the morning show. He also brought up Orion Kerkering, talking about the fact that they're likely not going to move him anywhere. You know, he's a guy that's going to stay here. You would think they still need to bolster the back end of this bullpen. There are no questions about that. But Kerkering is likely going to be a fill, and he's going to be cheered on opening day when he comes out to pitch. And they'll find out if he's a guy that can start handling these higher leverage situations. You know, he's had trouble with it in the past. He certainly had trouble with it this year, especially with inherited runners. There were a lot of issues for him there. But, you know, he's going to be a fill in 2026. They've been checking in with him, making sure that he's all good after what he had to endure after game four. And, you know, that's that. Like, he's going to be here for the roster moving forward. I know a lot of us, and again, the knee-jerk reaction afterwards was, this guy needs to go. There is no chance he can pitch another second in Philadelphia. He has to be out of here. Not going to happen. You know, he's going to be on the roster in 2026. And then kind of just looking at the entire roster as a whole moving forward going on, because again, this is a team that has kind of been the same for the last three seasons, right? We haven't had a whole lot of movement between what the roster was in 2022 versus what the roster is in 2025. And this goes even beyond what Salisbury was talking about with the morning show. I've heard Ben Davis say this on WIP, Ruben Amaro on WIP. The consensus from everybody, and I really think it's right now, again, none of us are in Dave Dombrowski's mind. None of us are in John Middleton's mind. I don't know what's going to happen there in that sense, right? They could have a completely different outlook on what we have. But I find it very, very hard to believe that there's going to be that much change with this roster. You know, there will be the change of Castellanos being gone. I think that's a foregone conclusion. We understand that he will likely not be back. But outside of Castellanos not being here, I don't know what changes the Phillies are really going to make. You look position by position. You've got Bryce, who's locked in at first base. You've got Stott at second, who is not a player you've committed a lot of money to, but it's a player that you wanted to have grow and become a really big part of this team. Now, he has not been that, right? So I would be all right with them moving Bryce and Stott, but I don't know that they're okay with that being the actual way that they go about it. I think that there's a better chance Bryson Stott is this team's second baseman to start 2026 than not be on the team. You go to shortstop Trey Turner. He's here for another 8 years. Trey Turner's not going anywhere. He's got $300 million coming to him. Trey's your shortstop at the very least. Could be moving positions at some point, but he will be your starting shortstop in 2026. Third base, Alec Boehm, another interesting one of, you don't know what's going to be their final result with him. Now, they've tried trading him. They tried trading him last offseason. It didn't work. Is there going to be someone who's willing to trade for him now? I'm unsure. You know, you might be able to find some team that would be willing to do so. But I think for all intents and purposes, I think the most likely scenario is Alec Boehm is your starting third baseman. Now, left field was kind of a platoon situation with Marsh and Weston Wilson, a bunch of other guys. Not sure what will happen there. Max Kepler did play left field as well for a lot of this season. He will not be back. Center field with Harrison Bader. I think Harrison Bader will be re-signed. I would be shocked if he's not, so I would pencil him in as your center fielder. Obviously, there's the chance that he's not. He could get money from somewhere else, and there are certainly the questions of whether or not he is worth it. Is he more of the guy that we've seen for the entirety of his career, or was he the guy that was hitting 300 for the Phillies for about 70 games or so? You know, I don't think he's necessarily that player. I think the Phillies think he may have turned a corner, which could be a scary thing to bank on, having a guy that's been a career, just a, you know, a league average player, and signing him to a bigger deal. I don't know that would be their smartest move, But it is one that I could see them making, and I could see them keeping Harrison Bader here on this roster. Then, obviously, you move to right field. Nick Castellanos will not be on this team in 2026. That would shock me the most out of any sort of decision that they make, is if they kept Nick Castellanos on this roster. Now, you have Justin Crawford waiting in the wings, who you would imagine would come up and would be your left fielder. You would think that the Phillies want him to get this job at all costs, right? They want to have some of this youth infusion coming up at some point. You would imagine he would be a guy that would get a job and stay with it. Now, does not provide the power, provides a pretty decent glove, but he's not ready to be a center fielder yet. Does not provide outfield pop, which you want from a corner outfielder, but I think that he would be a guy that would get that spot. And then you look to the free agents, and you look at, is Kyle Tucker a guy that they want to bring in? I'm going to be honest with you. I don't think Kyle Tucker is a guy that the Phillies are going to sign. I think they're and look, maybe Middleton shocks me, because I know he's going to be willing to give out money, right? Like, he will give out money to Kyle Schwarber. He will give out money to JT Realmuto. He's going to give out big money deals. There's no doubt about that. I just don't think it's going to be to somebody that he's unfamiliar, that he's not familiar with. I don't think it's going to be to a Kyle Tucker who's likely going to command you $300+ million. I don't know that they want to have another contract like that on the books. The benefit of the Schwarber deal, obviously, is he's a DH and he's already in his mid-30s. You're not going to give Schwarber a $300 million deal over 8 years. That's not going to happen, right? So I think they look elsewhere to fill the holes in right field and possibly left field if Crawford does not win over the job. I would look at, and again, I don't know that. There's two guys on the Angels that I think are the most likely they try and get. And I don't know that either one of these guys are a smart decision. I'm just telling you that this is where the Phillies, I think, are going to look to. I think they're going to look to Joe Adell, and I think they're going to look to Taylor Ward. And they're neither of those guys are ones that inspire me. They're not guys that I'm looking at saying, oh yeah, we need to go get these guys. This is going to make our roster better, right? They may make the roster better. I think they're better than Castellanos and whatever you got out of Max Kepler last year. But they do not move the needle for me, right? They don't put you over the top. They're not going to be guys commanding a ton of money. Now, granted, both of those guys had career years this year. Joe Adell, finally. I mean, Joe Adell was a highly touted prospect for a long time, had his best year in the big leagues, and he didn't even crack a 300 on base percentage. So, you know, he's not a guy that I am chomping at the bit to go get. His slash line from this season, he hit .236 with a .293 on base percentage, a .778 OPS. Now, he did hit 37 home runs and drive in almost 100 RBIs. But still, he's not at all a needle mover for me. Yeah, he hit 37 home runs and drove in 98 runs. Outside of that, and granted, those are two things that are huge, but below league average player. I mean, was not good in all the other facets of his game. Then you look over to Taylor Ward. Ward hit .228, .475 slugging percentage, .792 OPS. He did hit 36 home runs and he did drive in 103 runs. But again, is Taylor Ward somebody that really moves the needle for you? He's a solid player. You know, both him and Adell are solid players. They're both good enough. You know, they're guys that are better than what you had currently had, right? We're talking about Nick Castellanos here, who was not a very good player for you. So you can supplement that by bringing in guys who are younger and guys who you know, have every bit as much talent as Castellanos had. Now, Taylor Ward, by the time the new season rolls around, he will be 33. Joe Adell, by the time the season rolls around, will be 26. So, you know, I think that Adell would be the guy you would want in theory if you think that you can fix him and you think you can make him live up to the 10th overall pick that he was a few years ago. He kind of is the obvious option. He's the younger guy. He's the guy who did show some upside this season. Taylor Ward, again, on the wrong side of 30. I mean, he would fit this roster perfectly because he's a guy who's about 32 years old, but he's not bringing you any sort of youth, not a guy you want to commit to long term. So I don't know that he's the solution. I'm just telling you that I think those are two spots that the Phillies are 100% likely to go after. They're not. I don't think they're going to go after a Kyle Tucker. They may try and do an Alex Bregman deal, but even that would surprise me. You know, Bregman has shown a little bit of a decline in the last couple of seasons. Do you keep him at third base or would you try and move him to second base? You know, there are questions that I don't know if they are willing to answer at this point in time. You would think that right now everything would be on the table for the Phillies because of the way that the seasons have ended the last couple of years, but I just don't know if that's how they're actually going to operate. I struggle to believe that this will actually be how they operate, but time will tell. You know, it remains to be seen. All right, I want to round out the episode. I mentioned earlier, Rob Thomson, finalist for Manager of the Year. That will be announced tonight. Pat Murphy, Rob Thomson, and Terry Francona. Those are your three finalists. The winner will be announced live on MLB Network at 7 p.m. Eastern time tonight. So make sure you are tuned in for that. Again, I think it will likely go to Pat Murphy. I think he's the one who will win it. But I think Rob Thomson will come in second. You know, Francona did a fine job with the Reds, but Rob Thomson has been a guy that I think should have been a candidate for these more than he has been. And I'll leave you with some Rob Thomson thoughts that I have. And I've said these things before, so I'm sorry if you're not a Rob Thomson fan. If you're not a Rob Thomson fan, I get it. I understand that the losses the last few years have been hard. I think he's one of the best managers the Phillies have ever had. I really, really do. You know, they were in the depths of hell prior to him getting here. And the roster that was largely the same that Joe Girardi had was vastly underperforming. And they brought Rob Thomson in and they immediately flipped a switch. And this roster became one of the best in the sport. And they were achieving the way that they should be achieving. 187 games in 2022. Now, he obviously didn't win all of them, but he was there at the helm when they turned it around. Won 90 games in 2023, 95 games in 2024, and 96 games in this past year, 2025. I get it. The postseason failures have been largely annoying, 110%. The roster's not getting any younger. These guys need to figure it out sooner rather than later. I'll be the first one to tell you that. I'm not going to tell you you're wrong if that's how you view these things. But you finally have stability at the managerial spot. You've got a guy that you know is going to help you win games. I know that he managed the bullpen a little bit weird in the postseason. I know that people have been clamoring for him to change the lineup. He did that this year. They moved Schwarber out of the leadoff spot. They may trade the leadoff guy. Maybe he shows a little bit of too much. He has too much faith in his guys. But we saw him change his philosophy this year and bench Nick Castellanos and get him out of there and say, look, if you're not all in, if you're not one of these guys that... if you can't check your ego at the door, it's time to buck up and move on. He did that with Nick this year. I loved that decision out of him. I thought we saw a little bit more teeth from Rob Thomson this year than we have in years past. And flat out, it just did not work in the playoffs. And it's very frustrating. And again, I'd be the first one to tell you that it's very frustrating the way that things transpired. I think largely, you can look to him for some of the issues with things this postseason, you know, turning to Kirkering in game four in a spot where you know he has trouble. Yank and Lizardo maybe a hair too early in that situation. Having Matt Strom come in and face two righties and ended up giving up a home run to Teoscar Hernandez, even though his splits were better against righties this year than they were lefties. Like, there are reasons to have a gripe with Thomson after this season, but I'm still willing to bet that he can help you out in 2026 and beyond. It's just the way I feel. Everybody is a loser until they're a winner, and I know we're in the spot right now where you look at that and you're not happy to hear that because of the fact that you want to see them be winners now. You know, I get it. I really, really get it, but I just think he's a good manager. They've improved their win totals every year in the regular season. We can sit here and we can bitch and we can moan and we can say they didn't get it done in the playoffs and that's all that matters. And largely, I'd agree with you, that is all that matters. But they have won more games every single regular season since he's been here. They are a very good baseball team with him here. And the regular season does matter. It does matter that you win 96 games and get yourself to the playoffs and get yourself a first round bye. The Phillies have not made it matter. But we've seen other teams do it, and we understand that winning 96 games and getting a first-round bye is a good thing. So that's where I stand on that. I know it's hard to look back on the regular season and say that it matters after the playoffs, but I can look at it with a level head and say that it does. All right, that's going to do it for me on this edition of Phillies Today. Again, 7 p.m. tonight, MLB Network, the NL Manager of the Year will be announced, so be tuned in for that. Hopefully it's Rob Thomson that wins. I'm interested to see the reaction if he does win. If what Philly reacts, how they react, I don't think he will win because of the job that Pat Murphy did with the Brewers with arguably less talent. But let's keep our fingers crossed for Rob Thomson. But again, I think it will be. My prediction is it will be Pat Murphy. Crosby. All right, we will talk next week on another edition of Phillies Today. Until then, have a great rest of your week. Big Sunday night game for the Birds this week against Detroit at the Link. The place is going to be a madhouse. Eagles improved to 7-2 last night, so good things on their front. And we will talk next week. All right, have a great rest of your week, everybody.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up, you get early payout on parlays too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Whatever happens today, take it on with a fresh cup of True Brew Coffee. Now only $1 with True Rewards. True North Store's True Brew Coffee is a hot, flavorful gourmet blend created from coffee beans from around the world. As a free True Rewards member, pick the size that is perfect for you and pay only $1. Don't have the True Rewards mobile app? Find it in the Apple or Google Play Store to download and save instantly. True North Convenience Stores. Fast, friendly, clean.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive. Most of you aren't just listening right now. You're driving, cleaning, and even exercising. But what if you could be saving money by switching to Progressive? Drivers who save by switching save nearly $750 on average. And auto customers qualify for an average of 7 discounts. Multitask right now. Quote today at Progressive.com. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. National average 12-month savings of $744 by new customers surveyed who saved with Progressive between June 2022 and May 2023. Potential savings will vary. Discounts not available in all states and situations.
You're jamming your favorite song, and while you aren't missing a beat, you could be missing a signal from your body. It's an SOS from your kidneys, and it doesn't sound like music at all. It's silent. High blood pressure, type 2 diabetes, and other risk factors can quietly stress the kidneys, leading to negative impacts on the heart. That's why you should ask your doctor about a simple urine test called UACR. Most miss the signal for hidden kidney disease and related heart risk. You shouldn't. Visit DetectTheSOS.com today to learn more.
On the job, every minute counts. That's why Lowe's now has ProBlock Quick Dry Primer, expertly manufactured by Sherwin-Williams. Engineered for pros to dry fast and go on smooth for virtually flawless results that keep your job moving. It's available in oil and water-based, and getting it is easy. Order online by 2 p.m. and get free same-day delivery right to your job site. Lowe's, we help, you save. Orders placed after 2 p.m. will be delivered next day. Valid in select zip codes, subject to driver availability. More terms apply.